This was a phone call we had on Monday, and you were telling me all this. A few days later, Thursday, OJ passes. Today, I wake up to a text message where you sent me some articles where it's been linked that there's a guy that's saying that he knows that the mob was hired by OJ to kill Nicole and Ron.
OJ Simpson did it, but OJ Simpson had mafia guys with him, and I've already said their names. We're going to say them today. And this hit, the greatest murder case in American history, was mob.
The following podcast is a Carolina Boys production. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crime and Entertainment. I'm your host, Hollywood Wade. Now, today we have Chris Todd on the show. Chris Todd is a very interesting guy, an investigative journalist. And I'm a little bit late getting this out on audio. It was released on YouTube last week. Before OJ Simpson passed away, me and Chris was having a phone conversation where he was telling me that OJ had some mob ties that was tied in with this murder. This was on Monday. On Thursday, I think it was when OJ passed away, he called and we were like, man, we got to go ahead and get this episode out. We were planning on recording it Saturday. Due to scheduling conflicts, we had to push it to Sunday. And before we record, he sends me these articles about a guy saying that the mob come to him and threatened him to keep quiet about what really happened with the OJ Simpson murders. And then the guy that came to him was mobbed up. And so this is all stuff that's coming out on these major, I'm not talking, you know, piddly news outlets here. I'm talking about major reputable news outlets. By now, you guys have probably seen it. It's not really breaking news at this point, but at the time that it was. And Chris had told me all of this word for word days before OJ even died. So I was just like, I've got to get him on, share the story. We've only scratched the surface on this. We're going to come back around and do a deeper dive to try to, you know, go behind on what some of these people are, some of the names that you're going to hear. Some of you may know the names, some of you may not. Very interesting stuff here. So let's get right into it here with Chris Todd on Crime and Entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crime and Entertainment. I have a very special guest here today. He's an investigative journalist and author, Chris Todd. Chris, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, Wade? How are you?
I'm good. So the funny thing is you and I have had some conversations over the past week. And we started talking about some of the guests that I've had on. I've had on a lot of mob guys. You were telling me about this connection between the mafia and the OJ Simpson trial, which who may or may not have been actually responsible for the murders that he went on trial for. This was the phone call we had on Monday. And you were telling me all this. A few days later, Thursday, OJ passes. Today, I wake up to a text message where you sent me some articles where it's been linked that there's a guy that's saying that he knows that the mob was hired by OJ to kill Nicole and Ron.
OJ Simpson did it, but OJ Simpson had mafia guys with him. And I've already said their names. We're going to say them today. And this hit, the greatest murder case in American history, was mob.
Mob. So kind of take us through this. I mean, there's a lot of players in this. Some people may not know the name, so I'll probably have to have you to kind of elaborate on them. A guy that's great. Is it Paul Baresi? He was a private investigator.
Paul Baresi is a private investigator who I knew briefly, and he's been involved in the case for a long time. He's a famous PI. He's one of those old school kind of hard nosed fixers in Hollywood. There was about 8 to 10 of those guys that did really big cases, Michael Jackson, Johnny Depp, like, and, you know, to me, I look up to those guys. They're kind of like mentors to me. I'm kind of the new school, you know, like Pelicano. These are the old school guys, Baresi, Pelicano, Hanks. There's a bunch of these guys. And I've been honored to get to know these guys, but, and I think they're important, but what's happening is people are starting to come forward. These PIs knew these guys. I won't say the other guy's name. He's in the articles. Starting to say, I knew there were mob guys there. A guy stuck a gun in my mouth. Before I got threatened. They ripped up my place. They blew up my friend's car. Yeah, because the OJ murders were mob.
Right. Can we talk about the guy that's saying this? Are you okay with his name? I mean, it's in the articles.
You could say his name. Yeah, I'll be nice about him.
Yes, yeah, it's John Dutton. Who is John Dutton, and what's his involvement, and how did the mafia become to basically give him a warning? And he gives a pretty vivid description of the warning that he got.
Back in 94, supposedly mob guys, he keeps saying Gambino guys, whether Joey Ippolito hired the Gambinos to go stick a gun in this guy's mouth, I don't know. Okay. A lot of times too, is this a smokescreen to say they're the Gambinos, but they're actually either Lucchese or Genovese? We don't know. Okay.
Well, I think what I've read is that Ippolito had ties to the New Jersey mob, which would be the Cavalcanti family.
Joey Ippolito is the mastermind behind the entire thing with Charlie Ehrlich, okay, and O.J. Simpson. They all dealt cocaine with A.C. Cowlings. This is all going to come out now. We can say it. It's over. The media tried to block me for 5 years. It's over. And people like you have courage. And I'm sorry, it's the greatest mob story never told. I already told the story 3 years ago. And yeah, I didn't have parts of the tape. And yes, I didn't have all the evidence linked up. I get it. Okay. I was new to it too. Okay. I'm not that old. Like, I don't know everything about the OJ case. Okay. But I know Ippolito was involved. Ehrlich was involved. There were other mob guys that covered it up. They ransacked people's apartments. They dealt cocaine with OJ Simpson. He was dealing cocaine for a long time with AC. They caught Tracy Alice Hill. I'll say her name because it's not even a real name. They caught her with like 40 pounds of cocaine. She threw it off a train. Go look it up. And in her phone black book, they find AC and OJ's names. Well, guess whose name really they're saying? Joey Ippolito.
And he ran what, a restaurant in the Santa Monica area? And he was also very prolific in the cocaine smuggling business.
Hey, Santani.
That was the restaurant?
Yeah, and it was by the ocean. And it had and a he tunnel was,
okay.
ran underneath it where you could park a boat. And it went underneath a sidewalk. You can go there today. Well, that's what a coincidence that his restaurant has a system where you can literally go under the sidewalk from the beach, enter either the trash trap doors or come through the back door. I was told by witnesses and sources that Ippolito and the mob guys with him, because I don't want to start naming the families. Like, right. You know, I worship some of these guys. Some of the guys you have on, I worship these guys. They're amazing. And it's our story. It's their story. It's the mob story. I'm tired of the celebrity frauds in Hollywood trying to drive like OJ killed two white people. It was a black man murdering two white people in a premeditated jealous rage. No, it was not. It was cocaine. It was drugs. It was mafia. And the mafia doesn't play. Now, OJ took it too far. I'm not saying the mafia went to kill Ron and Nicole. They didn't. OJ set it in motion. We're going to Nicole's. Get in the Bronco. He starts freaking out. Like, why are you guys squeezing me? Because Ippolito is basically putting the clamps on him. Like, I need some money. I'm a fucking fugitive right now running from the law. Look it up.
Right. So he did get arrested. He did escape or something along those lines. He was good friends with AC Cowling, who was the guy that was driving OJ in the Bronco. So for anybody who's kind of trying to figure out how all this ties back, that is the tie-in. Ippolito was real good friends with Cowling. How did it get, and I'm sure they were offloading produce for that guy's restaurant with that underground tunnel. I just figured I'd throw that.
They said they were bringing the shit in by the pallets.
Jesus.
Pallet loads of cocaine and heroin and weed. Okay.
So how does OJ get in tied with Cowling and Ippolito? What's the tie-in for that? And then what is the, I guess, the precursor, the plan to have this murder take place? Was it just OJ wanting a certain thing done and it got out of hand? What, walk us through this.
Basically, Ippolito sets an extortion. Okay. On June 12th, 1994. I've told the story before. People can Google it and look at it. The mainstream media won't pick it up because they're scared and they're cowards and they're tabloid. They're not real journalists. I want to work with you guys. Let's do it for real. OJ's gone. It's over.
Yeah. If there's a time to do it, it's now, because a lot of times you see when people do pass away, people are, then they have less reservations about coming out.
And that's why John Dunton's come forward after 30 years. And that's why Barresi did a recording with him, whatever he did, and interviewed him. Right. Because now they're like, it's time. We don't have OJ coming knocking on our door and his goon squad and his people driving this farce. But here's what we'll do. Okay. So Ippolito sets an extortion on June 12th. Tells Ehrlich, go get my fucking money. Go get my money. And he ties in everybody. Faye, Nicole, Mezzaluna guys. I'm not going to say Goldman's name. He's not tied in like that. They blew up a guy's car at Mezzaluna. Why? Why are they blowing up people's cars? Think about it. Okay? So he sets an extortion to go get my money. They're not trying to murder anybody. I'll stick up for Joey Ippolito here. Rest his soul. He didn't set a murder in motion. He just wanted some money from OJ. He was on the run. He was a fugitive. Look it up. It's in the U.S. Marshal's book where they talk about it. Where's Ippolito? During the murders, they asked about where he was. They couldn't find him. They didn't find him till December. In New York City, they found him in the back of a Chinese cellular store. Like, the guy was a wizard. He's a wizard, okay? But here's my point. They go to OJ and say, let's get that money. And OJ freaks out. What are you guys talking about? Why are you squeezing me? That's why they call the guy's screenplay Squeeze. Because he starts to figure out, like, oh, I'm being set up. Get in the Bronco. We're going to Nicole's. We're rolling the shit downhill onto her and Faye Resnick. And the problem was that Charlie went with them. He should have stopped
him. Who's Faye Resnick?
Faye Resnick is Nicole's supposed best friend, who she knew for like 3 years or whatever she knew her. Friend of Kris Jenner, the Kardashians, you know, this all ties into the Beverly Hills Housewives, and they're all like tied in. So, and Faye was at rehab. They thought she was there. She was actually staying with Nicole that week. That's why OJ told you. He asks the question to Ross Becker. Did anybody ask Faye Resnick who delivered her drugs the week of the murders? Why didn't they? This is the most investigated case of all time. Why didn't they ask Faye who gave her drugs? We all know she was using. They did an intervention. They brought her to her stash. OJ told you. He told you that this was drugs. It was mob. He couldn't say it because he's there. So he can't fully say Ehrlich's name and Charlie and Joey and all this. But so basically now they freak out. And that's why Ehrlich supposedly says in the tape, he has a tape saying, oh, it looked like OJ was going to punch me in the face. And I kind of stood back, and OJ talks about this too. He's in a panic. And so they get in the Bronco and they ride over there and they catch two bodies. Okay. They should never have went there. OJ should have just paid Joey. That's all you had to do, OJ. And I'm talking to you from the grave.
So what do you think the motive was to going over there?
What?
What was the motive to go over there?
Because OJ's pissed. He's mad. He's angry at Nicole. He hates Nicole. Nicole hates him. He just tried to rat her out to the IRS. Mm-hmm. She gave back the bracelet or the earrings. And this is the greatest love story never told too. That's why it's in the book, If I Did It. It's a great book. It's a great story. They were in love. They had everything, man. They had fame, money, looks, power, everything. And he flushed it down the toilet. And Ehrlich was the messenger, right? He's kind of like, and Ippolito is the instigator, is the igniter, right? He set this thing in motion and it flew south. We get it. And our whole country had to live with this, man, for 30 years. And then we go to the media and tell them for 5 years and they call us a bunch of names. But yet now you're running stories about the mob guys who came out. And I give John Dunton credit. He's courageous. We're not here to bash him. We're not here to bash Paul Barresi. We're not. These guys are courageous. And if it has to come from these old timer guys, because everyone in Hollywood is afraid of me, because you're scared, then they're going to do it. And guys like Wade are going to do it. And you guys can talk to me later.
Charlie Ehrlich, who is that? Give us some background on who he is and his tie into this.
Charlie Ehrlich is a former mobster from Miami. He worked for Joey. He was like the ghost, they call him. He's a 5-time convicted felon. He's not a bad guy. I gave him a chance. I tried to help him. And I warned him. I said, I just want to know the truth. If you tell me the truth, I'll walk away. And he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. He knew he'd been beating people for 30 years. You can Google him. Nancy Grace prosecuted him in Atlanta in 1987. He got busted in 85 with a kilo of puto Colombian cocaine. And they're like, who's this guy? Why does he have this? Like, you know, and he's not a bad guy. Everybody that talks to him, you know, oh, he's a nice guy. He's like, yeah, he is a cool guy. And he did something bad. And it's okay. Cleanse your soul, Charlie. Come forward. Want to go to hell? Okay. Did OJ confess on his deathbed? Maybe. There's a lot of speculation right now. He had these people sign NDAs. You know, did he say, well, we already know OJ did it. It's not news. Did he say Ehrlich's name? Probably not. There's a rumor there's a third assailant with them that OJ said there were two drug dealers that came to his house that he told Jeff Felix in the prison at Lovelock. And Jeff put it in his book, Guarding the Juice. And then OJ tried to retract it really quickly. Okay. So it did, we can't cover everything in a little interview, but Ehrlich is a mob guy. He used to race the speedboats, the Cocaine Cowboys and Ippolito and Magluta and, you know, Don Arino. We talked about Don Arino.
Willie Falcone, all those guys.
Willie. And I know the guy who started Falcone on the boats. Like I met him, like, and look, these guys were playboys. They ran Aventura, which was Turnberry Isle, with Don Sofer. Why does O.J. Simpson thank Don Sofer in his suicide letter? Why? Because they're all mob.
Who is Don Sofer? Goes,
Donna Rice. Ready? You can do your little clips all you want. Donna Rice, the hit on Gary Hart was mob.
I've heard that. Set up
by the mob to destroy Gary Hart. Because guess who George Bush's best friend was? Don Arino.
Arino. Yep.
So Donna Rice falls in love with Gary Hart and Lynn Arnett, whatever her name is, takes photos of them. It was a setup. And Gary Hart was gone. And Donna Rice, if you look at her interview with Barbara Walters, a friend of ours, beautiful girl. I have this infatuation with her. I can't explain it. I just go watch her interview with Barbara Walters. A friend of ours had a party and a friend of ours had a boat. What does a friend of ours mean?
Yeah.
Look for the truth that's already in front of your face. It's not always told to you blatantly. When they busted Charlie Ehrlich, let me just say this. When they busted Charlie Ehrlich in Vegas, for the Vegas robbery with O.J. Simpson, right?
Right. They stole the Heisman Trophy back.
When CNN and Allison Camerota interviewed Charlie Ehrlich, the ticker tape underneath said, O.J. Simpson accomplice. There he was. The murderer accomplice. God has a funny way of talking to us, and he not always will give it to us. He makes us work.
And we're actually planning on doing, you know, maybe a couple of shows to kind of tie all this together, to give a little bit more detail and background on some of the names that you spit out here. And we generally don't even do these types of things, these little precursors. But I felt because this information is dropping, everything is kind of happening here. This was kind of set the tone and let people know what we're going to be covering. We're going to cover Don Arino now, whom you talk with, because all that ties into all this. I know it's crazy, but it is. There is a pathway back here. I want to ask this question before we kind of wrap this up, and we'll get deeper into it during our series, but why was it that the narrative was always just OJ, and did OJ want it that way? Because he knew he could fight it better if it was just him, if all these other people were involved.
There's more than one answer, and many different people, sources, reporters, investigators, PIs, people that I've met over the years on this 7-year journey that I've been on, people have differing opinions. So I think there's no one answer. to give you a couple quick answers. They wanted OJ because he was the famous one. Okay.
Right.
There was a lot of blood evidence against OJ Simpson. So he's the easy target. It's almost like they're lazy, right? It's almost like Marsha Clark and Darden and Hodgman and Kelberg. They're lazy. They don't want to look for somebody else, even though Dr. Henry Lee, Dr. Bodden, and Irwin Golden all said there's someone else there. Under oath, on tape. But because they were for the defense, oh, they're for the defense. But guess what? You know what I found out? They weren't for the defense. They actually went to the prosecution first. And the prosecution told them to fuck off. Okay, but let me finish. Yeah, I know. You ain't gonna sleep tonight, dude. Because this is about our society. This is about our journalism community. This is about our justice system. Here's my point. It's a deadly cocktail. You got OJ dead to rights.
Yeah.
The fame is gonna shoot all of you to the moon. You're gonna write books, make millions of dollars. They already know that. Who the fuck is Charlie Ehrlich? Who is he? You're going to throw his name at Joey who? Joey Ippolito? He's not one of our Hollywood people. He's a felon. So they don't want to bring it in. They knew there was somebody else there. I can prove it. I have parts of the discovery file from a source. It shows that there's an accomplice. That the LAPD knew there was an accomplice. But so the answer is, OJ, it's a deadly cocktail. OJ is super famous. We already got him in the crosshairs. B, who are Ippolito and Ehrlich? Do we really want to go after mob guys who probably put out some veiled threats like, oh, you guys think there's somebody else there? You want your kids to live? It's one phone call, dude. Like, I knew a guy that Joey went up to him, knocked on his door. The guy came to the door and he just goes, hey, I don't want to say too much about what he was talking about, but hey, I need you to kind of stop doing what you're doing. And he kind of smiled to the guy. I met this guy. And the guy's like, well, no, I'm going to do what I, you know, I'm going to do my thing, man. I don't know who you are. I'm doing my own thing. It's my story, my project, my book, whatever. Right. And Ippolito just looks at him and goes, I need you to stop or else, in a nice way. Right. And the guy goes, or else what? And Ippolito literally just stares at him. The guy said he literally felt him crap himself almost because the look he gave him, and he goes, I understood what he meant. He goes, he didn't have to say another word. And Ippolito turned his back and walked away. And that guy killed his project in 1 second.
Yeah, it don't take much to get deterred from trying to bring things to light that people don't necessarily want out, at least at that time. I think now a lot of the players have probably either passed on or are very late in life. So it's going to come out. It's kind of the only thing I think really kind of has stood up to the test of time is situations like Hoffa and JFK, which you know a great deal about with the JFK situation too. But there's very few things. And I think as of right now, OJ, you have to put him in that category of what people know has really been held under wraps until now.
Right. And that's what the New York Post, the Daily Mail, there's going to be other people. There's other websites already talking about it. And look, this is kind of the way it has to come out. And I respect that. So at least they're putting these stories out there. It kind of has to chip at you a little bit, kind of like the Harvey Weinstein thing. They knew about Weinstein for like 10 years. And the first people that started to come out, they couldn't believe him. The paradigm was he was brilliant. He had great taste. He wasn't really like, he was doing it in a blurred way. It wasn't like obvious sexual assaults. So, but over time they record him. Then the next girl comes out, just like Epstein. One girl comes, then the next, then the next, then the next. And it adds up. And that's what's happening with OJ. And I'm thankful for John Dunton. I'm thankful for those PIs and those reporters that at least had the courage to even say that. But there's going to be a day of reckoning for the rest of you media people. I'm sorry. I'm not going to name you. I could name you right now. I could name 20 of you and probably get you fired.
Why do you think they tried to silence you?
You know, man, I'm gonna quote somebody here because I think this guy's hilarious. I'm going to quote LeVar Ball because they are haters. They are jealous. And I'm going to say it because I know human psychology pretty well. And I saw the way they dealt with me. They didn't really know who I was. They kind of knew me. I have a stage name. They knew me from a different name. Oh, they saw, you know, I got in these tussles in Hollywood. And oh, this guy's a bad. They never shook my hand. They never met. Am I in jail? Did I murder anybody? Like, so what are you saying that I was a bad guy in Hollywood? So I started to realize, like, they're fucking haters. They're fucking haters. And I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm reading everything about OJ every day, and I see the same reporters who blocked me. They're literally the same people. Now they're jumping on OJ. And you know what they told me all the time, too, is, oh, OJ's an old story. It's 30 years old. Chris, nobody wants any more OJ. Then why do you keep following him on Twitter every time he sneezes? Then why are you writing stories about him talking about NFL running back contracts? What's up? Are you a journalist or are you tabloid?
Yeah, I don't think you can ever say that nobody wants any more OJ, because even the conspiracy, you know, murders that I mentioned with Hoffa and JFK, I think the Nicole and what's the other guy's name? Ron Goldman's murders will be up there with that, because you don't have anybody. You didn't have your guy, whether you think OJ did it alone by himself or not. Nobody was arrested for that. So it's two of the biggest unsolved murders. Yeah. I mean, that's right up there with Biggie and, well, I guess you could say Tupac. I know they arrested KPD, but I mean, it's those names that.
Who killed Biggie Smalls? And I'll drop a little bombshell for you right now. It wasn't Poochie. And Poochie didn't kill Biggie. You guys want the truth? Come to me. I've already started saying it. I can do it on Natalie Wood. I can do it on Biggie. I can do it on JonBenet. They've silenced me. They didn't let Natalie Wood get any justice. Okay, the media has to wake up. If you like true crime so much, then help solve a murder. Stop trolling the murders of children for profit. Yeah. That's what you do. Okay. And to me, you know, if I have to be the martyr and the fall guy, okay, cool. You never met me. You didn't shake my hand. You didn't offer to hire me. You know, they tell us at these studios, like, well, we can't hire you. Why is it so complicated to hire me to work the biggest murder story in history? When I have all the evidence, parts of the tape, the guy's screenplay, all this stuff. Oh, we don't pay for stories. You don't pay your reporters at ESPN? Yes, you do. Stop lying. Stop saying that. You're hustlers. And Hollywood got away with this for so long because they get paid to lie. Like, they lie. You ever try to sell a script in Hollywood?
No.
Go try it sometime. Go try it. And you'll see them say, like, well, the writer's minimum is $75,000. You know what they'll pay you for your script? Zero. Zero. They will hustle you.
Yeah, I've heard people that have.
They will hang shit over your head. And if they can't sleep with you or abuse you or, like, take advantage of you, they don't need you. Now, granted, I'll give Hollywood this out, okay? I wasn't the most talented actor in the world. Okay, I wasn't the best looking guy. I'm not the tallest guy. I'm not the fastest guy. I'm not the funniest guy. I get it. For them, they could say, well, we didn't let Chris Todd in the industry because he just wasn't talented enough. Well, I walked away from that side of the business. Being a director and a producer, I did. I'm an investigator now. I'm a journalist. I'm an author. I solve people's murders. That's what I do now. And you can't stop me.
And now I think is the best time to be in the position you're in, because you look at all these documentaries that are now coming out, Quiet on Set. They're revealing that the documentaries that were finally done on Harvey Weinstein, all these documentaries now that are the rage. Everybody is
Randall Emmett. They outed Randall Emmett, and they starting to Ratner got outed, and Avi Lerner and the Charlotte Kirk thing came out. Oh, and who did she play? Nicole Brown Simpson. And who got extorted? Ron Meyer and Kevin Tushihara for sleeping with Charlotte Kirk. And what movie did they give to Josh Newton $4 million? The O.J. Simpson movie. Wow. What a coincidence that is. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, Hollywood Wade. This is Hollywood. O.J. is Hollywood.
I can't wait to get into the deeper part of our series, man. I want to thank you for coming on and kind of giving us a little precursor of what we're going to do. I do. And I know I
say, shout out to culture. I used to want to be a, I used to want to be a battle rapper and a musician. So I want to interject some humor. Shout out to Culture. Shout out to my clothing line. Shout out to my town, my hometown where I'm at. And
Where you at?
Oh man, I don't know if I should say it. The whole
We might not.
Burned down. Look at the initials. Represent modern day in the house.
Yeah, we might not. I want to close on this, because it's one of those things that I do believe people do overlook because it has been so long ago. But you mentioned Natalie Wood. Natalie Wood is on a boat with two of the biggest people in Hollywood and is found the next morning floating in the water. There's no way you're going to tell me that both of those guys, one being her husband, does not know what the hell happened on that boat.
Three guys. No. There were three men there.
Oh, the captain was there too. That's right. So, okay, I forgot about the
three men, three drunk high men, let one of the most beautiful actresses, a three-time Academy Award nominee, possibly help build Hollywood.
Yes, right? Yeah, 100%.
Was considered one of the greatest child actors in history, right? Okay. And they let this woman, she just drowned. And nobody knew where she was. She fucking took a swan dive off the back deck and nobody helped her. And when Dennis Davern wanted to turn on the spotlight to look for her, Wagner said, no, have a drink. And he poured him scotch. Well, aren't you looking for your wife? And when they asked Robert Wagner, because I'm going to blast him, I don't care. And Walken knew what happened too. And he shut his mouth for a bunch of years. It's all coming out. And Wagner, when one of the people from the island, he was either a rescuer or a citizen, said, well, where do you think Natalie is? Or where they're trying to look for her. Like, he wouldn't even call the Coast Guard. He didn't even call them. They made him call the Coast Guard. And they go, well, where do you think Natalie is? And he literally goes, well, she probably took the dinghy out and she probably, you know, went to somebody else's boat trying to hook up with somebody, because that's the type of woman she was. You slandered this woman's name, dude. You slandered this woman's name and you threw her in the water and you watched her drift out to the ocean. And Marilyn Wayne heard her yell for help. And because of your anger, your embarrassment, you were completely plastered. You couldn't help her. And the captain wouldn't help her either because he was scared. And Walken was hiding in his stateroom. Oh, he was asleep. Bullshit. So anyway, I do want justice for Natalie Wood. I'm not trying to tie all these things together, but you know, what my story is, what my journey is, it's to open up, man, it's to open up the Pandora's box for murder victims, for the voiceless. I'm doing other civilian cases all across the country. I deal with the police. I deal with DAs. I deal with all types of people, family members, everybody. Tell the truth. Don't try to cover stuff up. It gets worse, right? Oh, the web we weave. And look, the O.J. Simpson is why we're here. O.J., Charlie, Joey, Ron and Nicole deserve justice. O.J. is gone. I wish we could have got him when he was alive. The media wouldn't let us. And that's their fault. That's their fault. But God works in mysterious ways. And maybe O.J. kind of was kind of held in that regard. God took him. God has him now. Whether he sends them to hell, purgatory, to talk to Ron and Nicole, that's up to God. That's the final judgment, okay? But here in our material world, right now, it's time for the truth. OJ had an accomplice. You know who it is. I don't need to keep badgering the guy's name. He can come forward. They're not going to reopen the case. He's not going to get arrested, okay? Just relax, okay? They're not going to reopen OJ Simpson. Just like they're not going to reopen Natalie Wood. Like, it's just, but us as the public, we have a right to know and a need to know. And I want to quote one of my heroes before we go. Donald Freed said, we have a right to know and need to know. It bothers us. It's physiological. We want to know the truth. It's in our human nature. Let's give it to them. Thank you, Wade, for having me today.
Yes, sir. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. Look forward to working with you folks. I got to tell you, the stuff that we're going to put together, like you said, is going to be some of the stuff that you've never heard before. You might have heard some of these names, but we're really going to break it down lay all the groundwork for you so it'll be easy to tie it in. A lot of people won't go out and do the research. They need it displayed in front of them. That's what we're going to do, and we're looking forward to it. The greatest mob story ever told, tied in with the O.J. Simpson murders. Chris, thank you for stopping by, my friend.
See ya.
Well, boy, oh boy, what an episode that was. Please go check out that on the YouTube. You can see some of the visuals of the guys we're talking about, like Joey Eppolito, like Charlie Ehrlich, A.C. Cowlin. Very interesting stuff. I can't wait till we sit back down with Chris and we kind of do a deep dive into this. I think it's something that people want to know. Obviously, with O.J. passing, is kind of resurfacing some of the facts of the case. It's resurfacing some shows that are starting to be popular again on Netflix, like Made in America and stuff like that. So it's kind of in the news. And now for time, if anyone is going to come out and say anything, now would be the time, because OJ is obviously not around anymore, to try to combat that. So I think if you're going to get any answers of people that knew or were there or had details, now is going to be the time, because OJ can't be, you know, held accountable for these actions. So check that out on YouTube. That'll give you some pictures to go along with what we're saying. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. That way you get notified when we drop a video, because sometimes they go to YouTube first before they make their way over here to the audio side. And of course, follow along Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, anywhere you get your podcast, folks. We are there in all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram. Like us, follow us, TikTok. Give us a look on there. We got some shorts coming up on there. Great, great stuff. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And that'll do it for this week's episode. I'm Hollywood Wade. That was investigative journalist Chris Todd. We'll see you next week on Crime and Entertainment.